That drive, there were some great, some good designs, but they weren't too tricky that they couldn't be executed nicely.
Yeah,
there was great pass there, Chris. Great catch that Chris Flowers made over Drew Wagner. Great, that's a great matchup you'd like to see more of. That's been good. Good theater. We've seen some great individual efforts. Logan Dable.
There was some great positive efforts on some individual cases. They had, like you said, that one good drive, and they looked sharp. It was like
a couple stops.
Great. I mean, here we go. Kind of toughing it up. And then, like you said, they sort of shot themselves in the foot a couple of times. And you can't do that against anybody, much less this group.
Yeah. So. But, Jimenez had some positive moments. His first start, where he's struggling, is with when he's rolling out on his own side and trying to make those passes. Uh-huh. He's just way off the mark there on their out patterns.
Yeah.
And as the marching band now comes on the field. So, speaking of marching band, can't forget March Fest is a week from tomorrow. And this is, again, it's the largest band competition in the state. It's one of the oldest, celebrating 30. It's their 33rd year. And they pack it in for the Johnny. So it's
really a big deal
fun.
Here.
It sure is. So and then on Sunday, though, our Crosstown Rivals North, Waukesha North, have their band fest, if you will. So it's going to be a pretty full schedule. Tomorrow in Waukesha, too, there's the River it's called the Fox River Day or whatever it is, and families can participate and go kayaking and learn some more about the river, so it'll be fun. And and I'm excited about my show tomorrow. I have Josh Hughes coming back, and he'll be talking about his Waukesha ghost tours. John, his family have a long history with the paranormal. His father was into it, and Josh does it semi-professionally, very passionate about it. He was in Ireland recently working on some paranormal projects. He entered a film into the Celtic Film Festival. He has a photo that his father took of a young girl by the Les Paul stage in the Cutler Park bandshell.
Sure, Cutler Park.
And it was a young girl, like 6 or 8 years old, in Victorian garb, and there was just an eeriness to it. I'm open to, I believe in a lot of the spiritual and all that, being Irish and Catholic and all that stuff and having some pagan ancestry in there somewhere. But you see that picture, Johnny, if I get a chance to show it to you.
Yeah, I'd like
you'd
to see
like,
that.
Wow, that's pretty eerie. So, but
there's a couple of things there too, Don, just to tag onto that. When we did Waukesha Unlocked, there was more than a couple people that stopped by and gave us the history of 217 Wisconsin Avenue.
It has been known to have some
paranormal activity.
Sure.
And then also back in the 60s, is my understanding, it had some, let's call it UFO sightings activity around that building. So it's very, very precarious, kind of odd.
And Josh has chronicled that too, the UFO history. And with us having the Nike missile base here, that a lot of that speculation was surrounding that too. So all interesting stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what that turns out to be. But I remember then that Waukesha Unlocked, there was a couple of people that were just very, very adamant about the history of that building. And sometimes I'm in there late at night, and it's a little ooky.
Well, here's the thing, Johnny, is that building was built maybe in the 50s or 60s. Like, there's some older, like, Victorian houses from the Springs era that also have a paranormal history,
right?
too.
Right, and so it is surrounded.
It'll be fun, and I think
churches left and right.
Halloween's one of my favorite times of year, but it's like, the kids are getting older, so they don't love it. They're not into the trick-or-treating as much, but there's other things about Halloween that I love, and, like, that could be a fun thing to do around the season, not necessarily on Halloween, but... Josh has some openings. I'm trying to get a group of parents together and have a little party. Check it out. And, on those tours, I think you can bring adult beverages. So I look forward to having Josh back on the show. I had him on last year closer to Halloween. But now that it's in September, people have a chance to make their Halloween plans. And Johnny, I think I'm like you. I'm the kind of guy that I don't want any Halloween stuff in my house until after September's over. I don't want any Christmas stuff on until Thanksgiving's over.
Yeah, you mind?
Let's keep our,
keep
our
the
holidays,
holiday season a little tighter.
Exactly.
We don't need the Christmas ornaments up in June,
But you got to make your plans, and that's why I decided it was a good day to have Josh in. And then Jim Santel's coming in, and there's still a battle going on, even though the state or the Supreme Court has ruled in favor of the incorporation of the village of Waukesha, formerly the town of Waukesha, and what I've been known to call the breakaway Republic of Waukesha. And City of Waukesha is not taking this sitting down, and there may be some more legal action if possible. They don't believe in some interesting arguments that the town did not satisfy all the criteria needed to be to incorporate into a village. And so it'd be great to have that discussion with our very own Jim Santel of Morning Cannolis. As U.S. Attorney Emeritus, Jim certainly has the expertise to weigh in on that and share some insights
Jim
about that battle.
Jim is so interesting to listen to. Man, is that guy a lawyer, legal expert. Wow.
Yeah.
He just knows his stuff, man.
He's
so
got
much
a good,
fun to listen to.
Got a great handle for it. And, you know,
he really does.
Jim would always he's brought a lot of morning cannolis for my guests, you know, before his show. And he's brought in other bakery. And so I got to return them. Yeah. We got to figure out, since you're coming in, Johnny, you and I have to figure out something nice for Jim.
Yeah.
Especially since he may take over the rest of my show. So you and I get on the road to Chicago, where we'll be broadcasting the Carroll University game against North Park University, the Vikings. Be the first battle for the Pioneers after winning their home opener against non-conference Wisconsin Lutheran. And we're really excited after two back-to-back winning seasons, the first that the school's had since the 90s. There's a really great football tradition happening, or restarting, should I say, at Carroll University, thanks to Coach Mike Budashevsky and his crew. And, well, we got a great sampling of them last week. Very mature offense. Great seniors, great juniors, some sophomores that have showed some great leadership. It's on both sides of the ball. It's been a really exciting brand of football. And their goal is to move the needle this year. If they can get one or two more wins, then that 6-4 record, that they're in the playoffs.
Well, there you go.
It grows. But we've had the pleasure of meeting some of the players' parents and, of course, the students, alumni. And it's really fun to grow this partnership with the state's oldest university. And the birthplace of the forward pass in all of football.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah. So, but speaking of passes, I think we're going to see a lot more excitement from the Lasers here in the second half, as long as they keep Drew Wagner in. But I'm certain there's a lot of great talent behind him looking to get in and make some marks and get some notices for later this season or next year.
I got to think that KM is going to start shuffling in some of those other fellas.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
I mean, they're...
And bad on me, John, for not connecting with the police department's PR. We could have had his dad, Tom, over here, Lieutenant Waukesha Police Department, for a little half-game interview, but I'm sure Tom likes to keep a low profile, as he did as acting chief, too.
Yeah, he did his duty, huh?
So, you know, I've shown you, I think I introduced you to Officer Josh, our student resource officer. He's down here. And when I was on the city council, I had the honor of honoring him with an Unsung Hero Award as alderman.
Yeah.
And Tom Wagner came for the photo opportunity, and it was really nice of him. Yeah.
Nice.
It was like, as you know, Officer Josh is the hero of that that school shooting on December 2nd. And with my daughter in the next classroom, I'm eternally grateful to him. And he's probably one of the most humble guys you'd ever want to meet. And a great example of the men and women in blue that we have here in Waukesha.
Yeah.
So, and he commands so much respect and admiration from the kids in the school and the faculty and really everyone in the community. Just really good egg.
Well, so, salute there.
Yeah. So now the cheerleaders take over the field to do their cheer. So, you know, more than just a game, it's a great display of the school spirit here at Waukesha South. Student section again decked out for Western night in their flannel and cowboys. And of course, you look at the visiting section, too, and I don't see very many empty seats there among the Laser faithful.
They travel well.
They sure do.
They get quite the group over there.
They sure do.
It's like Oconomowoc travels well, too.
Yeah, like during this halftime, too, it's a good chance to highlight the coaches. Lasers head coach is Matt McDonald. Offensive coordinator is Dom Capozzo. Defensive coordinator is Chad Buchholz. Assistant coaches are Kevin Yarborough, Brad James, Eric Solberg, Johnny Duranzo, Matt Spellman, Augie Hengel, Marty Vosberg, Sal Cravello, Aaron Bunton, Mike Aguina, Blaine Sadel, and David Trafton. And you got to shout out athletic director Ryan Tomczak. You know, we were out there last year for football and basketball, and he was very accommodating. Such a great guy and a great crew he has working with him there at the school. And then, of course, there's our black shirts. led by Darnell Wiltz. I believe it's his is this his third or fourth season as head coach. He served as a D coordinator under A.J. Rabel. Assistant coaches are Ben Bordert, Chris Carrillo. Grayson Cooley was an all-state quarterback for South. Maxwell Dodd. Rafael Garcia. Nick Mahalos. Javier Mesa. Adam Pilon. Devontae Simmons. And John Stillman, who's also the varsity baseball coach. And a shout-out to athletic director and vice principal Dan Schreier, who's really done an excellent job here at Waukesha South, especially with a lot of the challenges we've had with the football program and with some of the other athletic programs. And he's really done so much, on top of having to hire so many new teachers with everything that's going on in education. So we're really grateful. Dan Schreier is also an accomplished tennis coach here and math teacher. Mm-hmm. And he runs Ironman too.
Wow.
So yeah, he's a real he's a battler. He's a great guy. Very unassuming.
They are cooking up so, all kinds of delicious treats.
But as I said, you know, if we expect to complete in the Parkland week, we got to get the simple stuff down. The snaps.
Yeah.
Well, kicks, punts, you know, the basics.
No, it certainly can't be, you know, beginning of season jitters. There's just some miscommunications going on there. I mean, the snap thing.
And it is attrition. So, in their defense, there's and Kettle Moraine knows this because there's been discussions. Like, I think we have freshmen playing O-line. So we got some scores coming in from Dan Portero. Muskego leads McGuanago 17-7.
The Brewers are trailing Nationals.
The Brewers are trailing the Nationals 3-0.
Arrowhead is up on Waukesha North 38-0.
Arrowhead and Waukesha North 38-0.
Is up on Milwaukee Lutheran 36-0. CMH is up on Tulsa East 28-0.
Catholic Memorial leading Tulsa East 28-0.
Is beating Oconomowoc 14-7 at half.
Waukesha West beating Ocon 14-7 at half. So the return to glory could be happening at West again. During the COVID year, I understand they were declared the state champion, even though there wasn't a playoff. I forgot how that was figured. There might have been some voting or something. But West has had other titles, including Classic A championships and some state titles in that fabled program. It's just they've had a lot of the same issues we've had with injuries and attrition and declining enrollments. And they'll be the only Waukesha team left in the Classic 8 after this season. So, which, you know, you certainly have a lot to market there playing the toughest teams in the state. So, and with the resources they have there, they should be able to recruit well. For us, we'll have a better story to tell next year, Johnny.
Well, that'd be perfect.
Playing in a more equitable conference and...
Yep.
You know, and the youth program's really developed, I believe, like the 5th, 6th, and 7th grade teams, I think, may be undefeated or they're having good seasons. And each of those teams have 30 players. 8th grade team also, I think, has a decent complement of players. And then, of course, you know, the varsity. We don't have a JV1 team, so it's just a focus on varsity. And so that's hopefully this will be the tail end of our varsity units being so light, which has been a problem in recent years. And, we've lost players over the years because of, playing in the Classic 8 and just getting crushed. And for a lot of people to play in the line, it's just very demoralizing when you're playing guys, you know, 2, 3, 4 times your size.
Yeah, well, like I mentioned earlier, you know, it's 3 of these offensive linemen for KM. You know, total weight is 900 pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're up against our defensive line.
Yeah.
Those guys weigh a whopping, you know, like, 420 pounds all put together.
And
it's just not.
And as
logical.
I mentioned, we've gone down the hall in terms of the freshmen and sophomores that we're putting on the line for tonight. And again, that's where Kettle Moraine's been very accommodating in terms of who they're playing tonight and what they're holding back on. And
right.
So we're grateful for that. And that's why we had a running clock earlier than normally scheduled. And there'll certainly be a running clock in the second half. And the good news for Kettle Moraine is they'll get to play a lot of second or third stringers earlier than expected.
Well,
and
let's address Parkland. You know, you mentioned earlier before we started the game, the teams that are in there. And, you know, I think it's worth mentioning, you know, New Berlin West.
Yeah, they had a good year last year. The only two losses they made the playoffs.
Eisenhower, I'm sorry.
Eisenhower was went to state. I think they lost to Kimberly back in 2019 or 18, I think it was.
Catholic Memorial.
Well, Memorial, Memorial came from the Classic Eight, and when they wanted to leave, and that's what upset a lot of South people, Classic Eight, you know, unanimously said, yeah, go with our blessing, because it was like one less juggernaut they had to play in an already competitive schedule. And the reason Kettle Moraine wanted to leave is so they have a better seeding for playoffs. So instead of having three lost seasons, and I don't know if they've ever had a single conference loss yet. So they're, for all intents and purposes, they're the only Classic Eight caliber team that, that plays in the Parkland. But those are good teams. The difference is that the student bodies, the demographics are much more akin to South, Waukesha South and Waukesha North.
Gotcha.
You know, Kettle Moraine, actually, their student body is similar to ours, but you may have 75% of the student body participating in sports and extracurricular activities. In Waukesha South, which is one of the most economically disadvantaged high schools, it's like less than a third participate.
Yeah, so there,
I mean, you saw the marching band, and there was a cheerleader doing one of the instruments. So we got good kids. We got a great, you know, and our academies are wonderful, the Health Academy and the Engineering Academy. And we have a pitcher on our varsity baseball team, a lefty named Tannis Lang. Played varsity since a sophomore, and he's in the West School District, but he came to North for the Engineering Academy. He's going to Waukesha, he's going to Ohio State on a scholarship for baseball, but also for academics. The kid's a genius, so he's going to be studying like a type of physics there that Ohio State is has one of the better programs in. All the Big Ten schools that have D1 baseball offered Tannis Lang a ride, but Lang came out of South because of the Engineering Academy. So, there's certainly good things that...
Yeah, you kind of went a little deep on me there. I was just trying to get through.
Well, I was just making a point is that we attract great athletes because of some of the academic programs we have.
Then the rest of them that are in that conference would be Wauwatosa East and West.
East and West, right? Yeah. Yeah, and they're competitive
West
and
Dallas.
Everything, yeah. Yep. West Dallas Central, yeah.
Central.
They
West
just
Dallas
moved
Central.
Into the class, into the Parkland, I believe.
And then Waukesha South.
South and North will be there next year, there. So
that'll be a whole different dynamic. It'll be little bit different. It'll be Pewaukee, a little more exciting football.
Pewaukee's moving from the Parkland into the Classic Eight. I know they're not terribly happy about that, but they'll have a lot more success in the Classic Eight, a lot more resources than we have.
Sure.
And I think having three NFL players from the same family out of that school,
It's kind of weird.
Represent themselves well in this conference. They could, let's put it this way. If they're playing, if they're on this side of the field against Kettle Moraine, it's a closer game. I'm not saying they beat Kettle Moraine, but it's a competition, you know, and not a glorified scrimmage. So.
Right.
But,
so it's a,
you know, again, very grateful to Coach Matt McDonald and Ryan Tomczak for agreeing to the conditions, if you will, the unconditional surrender in making this a better game.
Well, I mean, look at even that, you know, premise.
Yeah.
It's 28-0.
Yeah.
And
they're
playing, you know, their second string guys.
Yeah.
And sometimes even deeper than that.
Yeah.
And they're still up 28-0.
Yeah.
But there are some positive things that have happened.
You got a team with a lot of kids that are looking for some film, and so, you know, that's why you may still see some first stringers here in the third and fourth quarter to show some looks and get some good huddle film. And
yeah. It's like that number 24 on that last run at the half. I mean, you talk about a Beeler, holy macanoli. That guy just would not be denied. He was going for it.
I know, we got to get his name. Kai Rago. Ains Prado, the quarterback, wears number 83. How cool is that? He's a big Andre Reed fan, I think.
Well, we're getting ready here in a little bit for the second half.
Getting ready
half.
For the kickoff back. Yeah, let's take a quick break here, pay some bills here on the Blackshear Football Radio Network before we start the kickoff for the second half. Anya, take it away, please.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to Friday Night Football. Here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
Thank you, Anya. And you are listening to WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Thanks, Johnny. That's Johnny Watermelon here with Downtown Donnie Brown at Ken Hollub Stadium, home of the Black Shirts of Waukesha South. As they start the second half, they won the toss, so they get to receive. And trailing the number one Lasers of Kettle Moraine High School, 28-0. And I think there's even a different kicker in here for the Lasers. Teague Kowalski, number 16, is your booter. It's looks like Williams and Flowers back to receive for the Blackshirts. Kowalski gives it a hefty boot. And that'll be caught about the 10 by Flowers. He's going to go to the right. Goes around some good blocking. He's got a hole. He gets out of bounds at the 38.
Nice little run back, Don.
Pushed out of bounds by number 20, Patrick Rock. The 6'1 junior tight end.
Showed some speed there.
So Black Shirts, maybe their best field position of the day in terms of starting on a kickoff. Ball is at the 37-yard line, their own 37. Jimenez comes out to the field to take the helm again for the Blackshirts. And, some new numbers in here for the Lasers. So, starters getting a well-deserved rest, and backups getting some great, great action, great opportunities. Clock winding, 11-11 in the third quarter. It will be a winding clock for the rest of the game. Twins left, single receiver right. No, Twins right, excuse me. Ball on the right hash mark. Got a single back there on Jimenez's left. I think it's Isaiah Dunlop. The snap, Jimenez back to pass. Quick pass over the middle, incomplete. Well covered.
Dangerous pass.
Dangerous pass to the general, Zayas DeWell. Well covered. I see number 47 there. Jack Jack Maciosiewicz. So clock winding, 10:27. It's second and 10 for the Blackshirts. Play comes in from the sideline. That looked like Coach Wilt's bringing it in. So Coach Darnell Wilt also owns the youth football program at Waukesha South, which has been building tremendously. A lot of excitement about that development here. Blackshirts come to the line. Ball at their own 37, second and 10. Twin packages both sides. Dunlop on Jimenez's left. Flanker goes in motion. That's Williams. They go deep to Flowers.
Oh,
just missed him as he collides with one of the assistants there. I thought it was Adam Pilon, but no. Just missed Flowers by a fingertip there.
Needed a little longer arms.
Good job, with Williams going in motion from the left to the right. Everyone was keying on him in the flat. And so you had a one-on-one matchup there with Flowers there. He had some space on the corner covering him.
It was very close.
Yep. Nolan Roll on the coverage there. So it's now third and 10 for the Blackshirts here. 9-11 and counting in the third quarter. Trailing Kettle Moraine, 28-0. Twin packages both sides, ball on the right hash. Tailback on Jimenez's left here. I see a blitz coming for the Lasers. The snap. Jimenez rolls out left. He's got some space. He flips it out. Oh!
Oh, man.
It was kind of an out-and-up pattern there, but ball just got past Williams. A little too far there, so. It's fourth and 10, and it looks like the punt unit will be coming in unless they decide to go for it here. Nope.
Williams.
Williams is keeping the he's keeping the offense on the field as of right now. Nope, now the punting unit comes out.
Boy, if Jimenez would have been a target on that one, he had a lot of open space there, dude.
He sure did. Yeah, a little out and up pattern there. That's a good idea. We need one off. So, one guy back. And Laser scrambling to get extra player off the field. Ains Prado back to receive. The punt. That's Hector Carranza, the punter. And it takes a Laser bounce, but it dies at about the 36. It hit a black shirt.
That was dangerous for the Kettle Moraine.
Black shirt fans yelling. They think that it hit a Laser.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think it did too. That was darn close. It's very dangerous. Kettle Moraine just stood around there, and that ball could have.
I don't think it hit. I thought it hit one of our guys, but.
Oh, it was very
Black
close.
Shirt Nation, though, not. They think it was a missed call. Coach Wiltz is even questioning it now.
I mean, the coaching staff up here, the KM guys, are even groaning. Oh, well. Back to the chalkboard here.
Yep. So let's see who comes out for the Lasers here. So here come the Lasers. And yes, number 83, Ains Prado, is the QB. And look out for number 24, John, your guy, Kai Rago. Here we go.
A little confusion at KM. Yeah. They're trying to send a guy.
They got all backups
in here.
They better get the snap off. 6:45 and counting. And now here's the snap. Oh, they got the wrong side. Oh, they got it.
A little confusion there on the Lasers. Yep. Didn't know if they had the right
guys in. It's
like Giovanni
Pere in there on the tackle. It was a running play, but there was confusion on which side the run was to go to. And a big break. Knowing how well Rago runs. So a big break for the Black Shirts there. It's a 6 or 7 yard loss there. Second and 16. So pistol formation. For Prado. Twins left, single receiver, right ball in the left hash. And it's going to Rago. Great pursuit by the Blackshirt defense.
That's Dable.
Logan Dable again, but also great pursuit by the rest of the line. Couple guys in there. Joel Torres had a body in there. He's a little shaken up. He's going to come out for a sec. Ben Jimenez is going to come in for him.
Logan Dable's getting some good film today.
He sure is. 5:40 and counting. And his dad said he's more interested in baseball for college or just focusing on the books, but I think he's got – he can play for a lot.
He's got a place there, too.
He can play for a lot of good D3 programs, I think.
I think so, too.
Trips left, single receiver right, a rare 3rd and 13 here for the Lasers. Pistol formation for Prado. He's going – it's going to be an option to Rago. No, he's going to take it himself. And nowhere to go as the black shirts swarm on him.
Boy, they
Ben Jimenez him. Was part of that.
Just no place to go there.
Evan Stout was another one.
Good job on the black shirts pursuing that ball.
So it looks like it'll be a punt. This may be, I think this is the first one of the day.
Well, you don't see that very often in this group.
There was two other fourth situations. One was a long field goal just missed by the starting kicker, Eifert. And then a long pass that was almost a touchdown had it not been for a fumble. So... back to receive. I think that's Chris Flowers. Punt team working its way. I think, is this number 7 for Kettle Moraine? Here's the snap, the punt. And it's going to Flowers.
A booming
let it
punt.
Go. Wow, what a shot. Fortunately, it takes a black shirt bounce and rolls out around the 19. But if that kept going forward, that was near the end zone.
It was a big punt.
Grayson Lorick. Ben Bester. No, Teague Kowalski, the kicker. That was a beautiful poke. So Black Shirts will take over at their own 19-yard line. I think a 51-yard punt, I believe, if I counted that correctly, Johnny. So Black Shirts out 3:44 remaining in the third quarter. A timeout is being called. And it's by the black shirts. And we'll take a quick one here. In fact, yeah, here on the Black Shirt Football Radio Network. Anya, take it away.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Are they really palmetto bugs?
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be the lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Don and Johnny.
Anya, go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, just want to remind everybody you're listening to WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Char.
Thanks, Johnny. Yep, Johnny Watermelon here with Downtown Donnie Brown at Ken Halep Stadium. And Black Shirts following a timeout. Get another stop on the Lasers, and we'll take over at their own 19 after a beautiful punt by T. Kowalski of the Lasers. And here comes the black shirt offense. Joel Torres returns in the game after being shaken up on a tackle play and defense. Joel's going to play some O-line, I think, here for the black shirts, or maybe even a flanker. Let's see here. They might have him as a runner. No, he's in there on the... So Twins right, Twins left. Dunlap on Carranza's right. The general goes in motion to the right. Ben rolls out right, looking long. He's got a guy.
Oh,
yes!
Yes!
Zay Solow, then a beautiful catch all the way at the 46, 45-yard line they mark him down at.
There was not much room.
A 21-yard pass play. Sorry, Johnny.
There was not much room there, but he just threaded that, and it was perfect.
Great diving catch by the general, Zay Solow.
Yes, sir.
The junior.
Well defended, but boy, and, was that perfect.
You'll be hearing more about him in the winter when the black shirts take the hardwood. We'll be broadcasting that as well. Black shirts huddle real quick. Ball in the right hash, 3 minutes and counting in the third quarter. Black shirts trailing 28-0 to Kettle Moraine. Twin packages both sides. Pistol formation for Jimenez. That's Isaiah Dunlap behind him. Jimenez going up the line, calling an audible, it looks like. Here's the snap. Jimenez, quick pass to Stout. Oh, Stout can't hang on.
Oh,
heavy coverage from the Lasers. Might have heard footsteps, and it was a little bit wide for Stout. Had some hands on it. Normally he picks those up, but probably a good thing he dropped it. It would have been a tackle for loss. Second and 10 for the Blackshirts there. But it was like an underneath, you know, kind of a legal pick play, shall we call it?
Yeah.
If it was legal.
Kind of smelled that way.
Yep. But again, great recognition by the Lasers, their backup unit, backup defense here. A lot of second and third stringers out. I think even some JV players in the game.
2 minutes left in this quarter.
28-0 Laser lead. Twin packages both sides, ball on the right hash. Pistol formation with Dunlap behind Jimenez. Jimenez waits the snap. Here it is. Jimenez looks to his right. Quick pass, another play to Flowers. Flowers with a catch!
And it was
there
pass
is a flag down.
To it.
Let's see. That could be offense defense, or defense.
I think it was defensive interference.
I don't know. Let's see here. Anyway. Well, the way they're macking the ball, it could be. So if it is against the Lasers, they'll decline it. But there could be a case that Flowers might have pushed off on that.
I don't think so, Don.
Pass interference against the Lasers.
That's what I'm saying. That was another great timed pass. I mean, that ball was in the air. He ran right underneath it. That was a great play.
Yes.
That one was well covered again, but they connected.
Yep. Speaking of connections, big shout out to Anastasia back at the office of former Alderman Don Brown at the WUK radio studios, and Chris Casper out of Madison. And Chris, I got your email, and yes, Johnny and I will be using the same system for tomorrow's Carroll game at North Park. As it's first and 10 at the Glazer 29, twin packages both sides, pistol formation. Jimenez rolls out to his left, heavy pressure.
He got it off.
Diving catch by Stout. Jimenez got hit as he released that. So a nice little five-yard gainer there by Stout using his outfielding skills to scoop that one up.
What a nice save.
That was great pursuit on Jimenez on that. I wish I had the number. Showed some great wheels coming from the opposite side.
Yeah, he really was chasing him down.
Second and four for the Blackshirts. Jimenez, also a member of the baseball team, plays third base and pitching along with some outfield. Twin packages both sides. Pistol formation with Dunlap behind Jimenez. Here's the snap. Jimenez looking right. Another corner pattern to Tyler Williams.
Wide open. Oh, my God.
That's a tough pass to make. Heavy pressure from the laser D.
Oh.
What I like on that play is there's three different receivers running that, so it's good that they're mixing it up there.
Yeah.
And I think we might have another timeout here.
Boy, he was so open. Oh, well.
So that's going to be the end of the third quarter with the Blackshirts trailing 28-0, but they are in laser territory. And we'll take a quick break here, too, on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network. Anya, let's pay some bills.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
It's back to school time, but before we ring the bell for class, how about this subject? The first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created America's first kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown, about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bond.
Welcome back to Friday Night Football. Here are your hosts, Don and Johnny.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Thanks, Johnny. Johnny Watermelon here at Ken Hulp Stadium with downtown Donnie Brown. Blackshirts threatening here. It's third and four at the Kettle Moraine 23-yard line as we start the third quarter. Blackshirts looking to get some points here, trailing 28-0. Twin packages both sides. Dunlap, he sends Williams in motion to the right. Jimenez rolls out right. He's got Williams on the screen here. And he's close to a first, but well defended by the Lasers. Good pursuit. Good job by Williams getting some positive yardage on that.
Nice offensive play that time,
Don. That makes it, yeah. But, again, great pursuit by Kettle Moraine prevents the first down. So you're looking at, like, fourth and about one or two here.
Yeah, it's very close. We can do this.
So
it can happen.
Jimenez can run, too. So I wouldn't be surprised if I see a quarterback keeper here by Jimenez. Oh, we got is a different running back in there. No, that's Dunlap. Pistol formation, ball in the right hash, 11-20 and counting. Twin packages both sides. Williams in motion to the right. Jimenez takes it. He's going to the end zone to Stout. Oh, and Stout can't get a finger on it. Stout is calling, looking for a flag, but it's not going to happen. Lasers will take over on downs. Wow. I'm surprised with fourth and one that they didn't that in. It's
right.
Just like Jimenez taking up the middle.
Yeah.
With some backup linemen and everything, so I didn't understand that. But
we have to get you down there and coaching.
Yeah, but
Don.
Yeah, there you go. Stout had to
start calling some plays in here.
He had to go back to his cornerback position on that play, swatting it away to prevent an interception in the end zone, but he thought that the defender might have had a piece of him. So, another missed opportunity for the Blackshirts, but a good drive, you know, two good drives here.
Yeah, well, it burned some time off the clock.
10-24 and counting here.
KM's offense off the field.
Trips right formation. Double tight end on the left, it looks like. And different quarterback in here. He's got a lot of room here.
Got all day.
He's rolling. He finally gets it off. He's got a guy in the flat. It's complete. Number 82 and finally brought down by Isaiah Dunlap and Giovanni Perea.
Couple guys missed. That's a big gain.
Yeah.
It's about a 20-yarder there.
Brought down by number 24, Isaiah Dunlap. Good for Ailey.
So Charlie Dunn, the reception. Pierce Engstrom now, the QB for the Lasers. And your guy, Kai Rago, the tailback, in a pistol formation. Twin packages both sides, ball in the right hash. First and 10 for the Lasers at the at their own 43-yard line. The snap, he's looking to his left now. Again, lots of time. And it's intercepted! And caught! I think the Lasers caught it! Oh, it's incomplete. He must have trapped it. That was Justin Giese had a hand on it, ran to his own guy. The ball popped loose. And I thought a Laser receiver caught that, but he must have trapped it.
What a fun play. That was touched by three different guys.
Well, and Engstrom could have ran that, too. With
touch,
the protection
caught,
he had,
bobbled,
yeah.
Caught, trapped.
So,
a lot of action on that one.
Pierce Engstrom, the 6'3", 210 sophomore. Good size for a quarterback. Twins left, single receiver right. And it's going to Rago. He's got a huge hole. He's got some room to the outside. He's got a first down, and then some. Finally pushed out of bounds on a hit. Close to the sidelines. And there will be some, I think there may be a flag here on some extracurricular activity. It's either a late hit out of bounds or a...
Number 24, Kai Rago.
I think they're going to give him a flag for a late hit.
It's a great
hit.
Run by Rago.
Well, maybe it's enough.
It was close to the, I think there was some activity close, afterwards that might have forced, but nope. So, 8 minutes and counting here in the final quarter. Lasers looking to add to a 28-0 lead. Clock continues to run as the Lasers huddle near the sideline. They come back. There's no flag on that play. And looks like we have a different quarterback in here. Is it a, oh, it was a quarterback under center. Nope. Quarterback now wears number 28. I don't have a number. It's a JV player. Jay Stoudy is his name. And, it's a keeper on the fake. But Tyler Williams isn't fooled and tackles him for a loss. Big play by Tyler Williams. The execution on that was good by Stoudy, faking to the tailback.
It was.
But Tyler Williams from his corner position came out for that.
Yeah, didn't fool him.
Ball in the middle of the field, 7:06 remaining in the game. Second and a long 15 for the Lasers. Twins right, single receiver left. Empty backfield now, it's Trips right. Stoudy all alone in the backfield there, gets a snap. He's going to run, and it's a little keeper to the right. And great, well defended there, Ben Jimenez.
Good pursuit by the Black
Shirts. Good job. Get up, Benny. Ben a little shaken up there, like holding his left arm. That's not a good sign. At least it's not his throwing arm. Jimenez will come out. Joel Torres will come in for him. Got to love that enthusiasm in Torres. Jimenez didn't land right, but it looks like he's good. Luckily, it's not his throwing arm. He's a baseball player, and he's already being recruited by some schools. Yeah, it's a shoulder, I think. It could be. So it's a 3rd and 13 for the Lasers. Got a few yards on that keeper by Stoudy. And then Engstrom back in. Empty set again. Trips right, ball on the right hash. Twins left. I think Engstrom may look to his left. Engstrom back. Yep, he's looking to his left. He's rolling to his right, though. Now he's thrown to his right. There is a flag down. It's caught. Number 18, great job finding him in space. He has the first down, but we do have a flag in the backfield. It could be of the holding righty. Grayson Lawrence did a good job staying in the open spot there and then getting the first down yardage.
There's a couple things going on there, Don.
Tag number 8, Justin Giese. There are multiple penalty flags on the field.
So we think it may be penalties on both sides. We'll see. Either way, the play is negated, I would think. The refs have a discussion.
Might be holding.
I think for sure there's a holding call because it's in the backfield.
Yeah.
But then there may have been some unsportsmanlike conduct by the Black Shirts or something. And again,
that I did not see.
Clock continues to roll. 4:45 left in the game. refs having quite the conversation here. Like,
yeah.
The game could be over by the time they have a decision. Yeah.
Figure out where they're going for pizza after the game.
No, now they're calling. They're stopping the clock now at 4:38. So, yep. A lot of these refs end up at Kelly's Bleachers after the game. Do they? Yeah. We were meeting when Muskego was playing here. We met some friends from the other side there. And
we've got holding against the Lasers.
Holding against the Lasers. Illegal man downfield.
Two against the Lasers.
Wow, so unsportsmanlike.
That's our offset. Unsportsmanlike against the Black Shirts.
So penalties offset, right?
10 yards on the holding, 15 yards.
Yeah, how do you write that?
Yeah.
10 yards holding and 15 yards with dead ball.
Is that, that's an automatic first, isn't it, on the unsportsmanlike conduct?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Well,
it, you know.
So, again, in high school, they assess all the penalties. I thought that they always offset them, or they just.
Nope.
They're going to walk the unsportsmanlike conduct off from the holding.
A little frustration penalty there, I'm afraid, Don.
So, that makes it, is it a play over? I guess it's play over then, yeah. So, it's now third and about eight for the Lasers here. Engstrom still in a quarterback. Tailback wears number three. Twins right, single receiver left, ball in the right ass. It's going to the tailback here. Good pursuit by the Blackshirts defense. Isaiah Dunlop doing a great job in the linebacker spot. 4:18 with the
three,
tackle out of bounds.
Noah
Haight is a carrier. So now it's a penalty against the Lasers again. And I don't know.
I forgot that exact signal.
Oh, it's holding. I think he declined this here with fourth down.
That was the oddest holding call I ever saw from a ref.
So don't forget my guest tomorrow on This Week in Waukesha is Josh Hughes of Waukesha Ghost Walks. Looking for something new and fun and different to do this Halloween? Check out my show and learn more from Josh. And then James Santel joins us to talk about the ongoing legal battles between the city of Waukesha and the breakaway republic of the village of Waukesha regarding the Supreme Court's decision to uphold their incorporation into a village. So check that out and more. And then, of course, later that day, Johnny and I will be down in Albany Park in the north side of Chicago where our beloved Pioneers of Carroll
little trip to Chi-Town.
1-0 record to take on their first conference rivals, the Vikings of North Park. Fine Swedish Covenant University. And here we go. It's a repeat. Third and 18 now. Ball at the 48. 3:28 and counting. Twin packages both sides. Tailback in the left. It's going to the runner again. Oh! Isaiah Dunlop again, but the guy almost broke away. Great pursuit by the Blackshirts. Credit to that young tailback for breaking what looked like a sure tackle. So it's a 3-yard gain.
Number three, Noah Haight. Wrapped up.
Little scrappy attitude there on the number three from the Kettle Noah Marine Haight. Folks. He was tough to stop.
He sure is. They got a whole corral of great runners.
They sure load up nice, you know, when someone comes out, somebody else comes in, they just do their job.
Clock continues to run, 2:40 and counting. Lasers holding on to a sure victory, leading 28-0. Engstrom, the quarterback, twins right, single receivers left. This is 4th and 15 here. You got to believe Engstrom's going to look long here. Flanker goes in motion to the left. And he rolls out to his left under pressure, throws a left-handed pass, but brought down. Wow! A Flutie-esque play as the quarterback switch hands to avoid danger. Blackshirts will take over on downs, but some
great pursuit by
fancy
the
improv there by Engstrom. I love that.
Yeah, switched the left hand. That was kind of cool.
I saw Doug Flutie throw a touchdown like that in college. Clock counts, 1:57 and counting. This should be it for the Blackshirt offense, their last chance to try to put the puck in the net, if you will. 1:47. Blackshirts hustling out to the field here. So, twins left, single receiver right. No, twins right too. Dunlap behind Jimenez in the pistol formation. 1:31 remaining in the game. Jimenez gets the snap. Looking to his right. And it's almost intercepted. I think it was broken up there.
They caught it, but he went out of bounds.
Yeah.
That was intercepted,
I think Williams
sir.
Pushed him out. Yep, good defense there.
Yes, sir.
Good defense. Pete Kowalski on the coverage there. That was intended for, I believe, was that Williams? Or no, that was the Generals, Zayas DeWalt. So same thing, second and 10, 58 seconds and counting. Jimenez gets the snap. Now he's looking to his left. He rolls out to the left. He's going deep to Williams, but it's too far. They're basically improvising from there. But
Williams falls incomplete. There is a penalty.
We do have a penalty down.
I think he got away with a hold there.
They may have. Maybe that's what the penalty is. Oh, on the defense? I don't know. Flag's near the line, though, so it's probably against us. But
I
don't know if we'll get another playoff here when they decide the flag. It's going to be holding against black shirts.
That might be the end of this contest.
Yep. I think this will do it because I don't know if they'll be able to get this off in time. Yep, 7-6. This should do it. Can the black shirts get to the line in time? I don't think so. No, they stop it with 4 seconds. So, yep, quick timeout for the black shirts. So they're going to try to rattle off one quick play before the game ends. Nope, that's it. No, they're going to let the clock run. So
and that is the end of the game.
That'll do it. So congrats to the Lasers who remain undefeated after a 28-0 victory over the Blackshirts. Blackshirts live to fight another day. And again,
2 seconds
very
left
grateful
on the clock.
For the
support. Looks like
from,
the Zebras are.
Nope, they're letting it go. Oh, no, they want to, I guess they're.
They want to snap this ball.
WIAA rules. They want to play. Yep.
Yeah, that this one.
Oh, Lasers took a timeout here, too.
Last
so, yeah.
play might put somebody over the edge here.
There you go. Well, you got one play. Might as well take it. A lot of seniors out there. So, Blazers line up. Clock will start when the half starts. Twin packages both sides. Pistol formation with Dunlop behind Jimenez. Jimenez gets the snap. Runs out of trouble here. A lot of pressure from the black shirts. Jimenez, he's going to run it. And he breaks one tackle and he keeps going. No fumble roost because he's brought down at the 48, 49.
That was a long run.
And that'll do it. And now it's official. Kettle Moraine 28, Waukesha South 0. And again, best of luck to Kettle Moraine as they look to defend their state title.
Please enjoy the rest of your night. Stop by concessions on your way out. Dollar Hot Food.
Well done. What do you think?
Well, the important thing is no major injuries.
Yeah.
There were some bright spots.
Yeah, that was a big thing.
Just some basic stuff, you know, snaps, all those things. Just, you know, self-destruction. They got to work on that. But, again, they survive a battle against a great team, a team that was actually, you know, very charitable in the way they played tonight. They got to play a lot of underclass. And
yeah. Got some looks at some guys you haven't seen for
a
while.
And, and again, it just shows you the depth of these Classic A programs, especially the elite of the conference now.
Yeah.
But a lot of respect, though, between the players. Seen some well wishes.
Okay,
you know,
well.
We see some of these kids in the hardwood in the winter when we broadcast it, especially Drew Wagner. And, you know, I obviously see bright things for the Lasers in this season.
Yeah, they're a good organization.
Who do you guys play next week?
They play Waukesha West, so certainly we'll be cheering for Kettle Moraine next week. So, but West, like I said, they're right. Last I heard, they were beating Ocon, so they may have a better team on the field. But right now, I don't see anybody. Kettle Moraine's tough to beat. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, well, they're just so big, and
yeah,
they got a lot of guys. They stay fresh.
Yep,
they're healthy.
They sure do.
Got a great offensive line.
Yep. So we.
Black shirts, you know. They showed some.
They sure did.
A little tenacity there in a few of these drives.
We want to thank every one of you for joining us again here on the Blackshirt Football Radio Network, brought to you by Mia's. And don't forget to join us at 8 a.m. for This Week in Waukesha. Josh Hughes, Waukesha Ghost Walks, my guest, along with James Santel. And then you'll hear us again at 12:30 when we'll be broadcasting Carroll football at North Park University. Very excited to be a part of the Rising Pioneers. And we thank you all again. Remember, safety is responsibility, and we'll see you all tomorrow morning at 8 for This Week in Waukesha. And as Mr. Moran always says, hug your children tonight. Tell them you love them. And we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow morning. Thanks again for joining us. And see ya!
See ya!
Goes under the rank of petty officer. As news of the pay cut spread, sailors at Invergordon held meetings to discuss their response. Invergordon, Scotland, had become an important harbor for the British fleet during World War I. The sailors decided to strike. On the day of the strike, several ships were scheduled to participate in exercises. But the sailors on four vessels refused to take their ships out of the harbor. Many men did not report for duty. Naval leaders gave in quickly, reducing the severity of the pay cuts. But many of the leaders of the strike faced reprisals. Some were jailed. Others were drummed out of the Navy. Spies for the Admiralty went below decks to monitor the sailors and report those who might cause future trouble. Government leaders tried to keep the news of the strike out of the news. But workers' rallies against public sector cuts spread to cities like Glasgow and London. The strike also caused a panic at the London Stock Exchange.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I gotta tell you, I love the Maganomics frame that the president has been using. And look, you gotta put. I guess you give credit where credit is due. Trump and the Republicans have done a masterful job of enriching the very wealthy in corporate America. They have, and you look at the only accomplishment they got through, which was Paul Ryan's baby. It did what it was supposed to do. It created an environment where the very well-to-do did very well. Now, the weird thing is I was having this conversation with someone today, and I said, you know, you go back and you look at what the Trump tax cuts did, and it took a lot of the deductions that working people used to take, took them away. And I said, that's a negative. It's a bad thing. It's harmful to working people. And gas prices were $1 a gallon. And I'm going, no, gas prices were never $1 a gallon during the Trump years. Not even when they had nowhere to put the oil. No, that's not true. And this is the weird world that we live in, because when you try and talk to the red hats about the difference between what President Biden is actually trying to do and the direction that he is moving us as a country and what they believe, again, the believe crowd, there's almost no reality base to it. And I think, at the end of the day, as I've been saying, the sane and rational amongst us have to get out and vote, and we have to get out and vote in large numbers. We have to pull other people along with us to go vote. And maybe there will be a moment where people, come around, but I'm not hopeful. Because look, there's still the economic folks who are looking at the Reagan era as that was golden economic policy, the policies that got us into the mess that we're in right now. Understand, all of the deindustrialization that happened was accelerated during the Reagan years. All of the job losses that have happened over the last 40 years accelerated under the Reagan years. It was those policies, and it was the Reagan acolytes who then came after him, who said, "No, we're gonna pursue all of these bad ideas for working people." Now, understand, all of this stuff works exactly as it's supposed to. You know, supply side, you know, trickle down voodoo Reaganomics is not a failure for the people at the top. It works exactly as it is supposed to. It is doing exactly what it was meant to do, and that is make the rich richer and the poor poorer. Doesn't get any easier to explain than that. So when the president starts talking about Bidenomics and the idea that we're going to grow an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, that freaks out. That freaks out the very well among us, which is why we keep hearing these stories.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.